Thanks for joining us on the JX today. Topic number one is absenteeism in public schools. Not the kids who get the sniffles and stay home for a day or two every few months, but the ones who are chronically absent, missing a lot of school. It's been an increasing problem across the country since schools came back from the pandemic shutdowns. Recent numbers from Oregon show a 38% average of chronic absenteeism, generally higher in rural districts. The Medford School District, which is not rural, well, mostly not rural, and is doing better than the state average, volunteered to talk about its approaches. We have two guests. Marissa Poling is the Director of Family Engagement for the Medford School District. Welcome, Marissa.
Thank you.
We also have with us Natalie Hurd, the Director of Communication and Community Engagement for the Medford School District. Welcome, Natalie.
Good morning.
So, Marissa, what can you tell us about the trends in the district? How is absenteeism now versus pre-pandemic?
Yeah, the absenteeism rate pre-pandemic has not fully recovered, but like you said, we are above the state average, the state average being about 62%. And we are trying to approach that and look at our data every day and every month and quarterly to determine what our next steps and interventions will be to remove barriers for families.
Well, let me get to the big picture, actually. I mean, talk about not just the people who are missing, but the people who are supposed to be there. How are the actual enrollment numbers doing now versus pre-pandemic?
Yeah, I'll take that question, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
So our enrollment has dropped quite a bit since COVID. So we are down about 27% at the elementary level since 2019. In the Medford School District, overall, we're down about 7%, but we are seeing a lot of families just making different choices since the pandemic, mostly in our district turning to homeschool. But we also have, you know, private schools in the area and charter schools in the area. So there's a lot more competition in COVID. You know, there were a lot of parents who just decided to go it their own. And I think districts thought that we were going to get more of a rebound than we actually have. And so we're working to combat that by trying to create innovative opportunities for students and families. We've been talking to the families who have chosen other options. And we're trying to innovate so that we can offer an educational experience that fits the needs of all students and families.
But how much wiggle room do you have there, Natalie? I mean, it's not like you can tailor a complete program, I would think. I mean, yes, I'm aware of things like individual education plans and things like that, but it seems like there would be limits to what you can do to make the experience that much different student to student.
Well, we have opened an online academy, which we kind of were forced to open during COVID, and then we realized that this is just a preference for some students and families, and so we've been able to maintain it. It's called Medford Online Academy. We have local teachers who teach there, and it's all online, flexible learning options. We have several hundred students who currently attend at Medford Online Academy, and we're continuing to recruit more. We also have a new project-based learning high school called Innovation Academy, which is all hands-on project-based learning. So we opened that school this year as well. And then our other school of choice is Roosh Outdoor Community School, which has been around for a while, but that's all place-based learning, outdoor experiential education. And all three of those schools are open to any student, regardless of attendance boundaries.
Natalie, do the Medford Online Academy students count toward the Medford School District's enrollment and absenteeism numbers, or is it a separate category completely?
They do. They are one of our schools, just like any other school.
Okay. We were talking about absenteeism, chronic absenteeism across the state of Oregon, specific to the Medford School District, where we have Natalie Hurd, the Director of Communication and Community Engagement, and Marissa Poling, the Director of Family Engagement. Marissa, I think we were stating those numbers in verse, because you said 62%, which is the amount of people still in school, right? Because I'm showing 38% out of school. Is that, are we basically talking on the same page, different sides?
Yeah.
All right.
Kids that are considered chronically attending school and kids that are chronically absent.
Okay. So let's see. So the statewide percentage of chronically absent is 38%. Medford's in 2023 slightly better at 36.1%. Same as Central Point. I see 10 districts reported more than 50% chronic absenteeism. Pinehurst in our region was one of those. We want to establish Medford is slightly better than the state average. And what is the distribution? I mean, do you have a lot of students missing time or more like a wide core group that misses a bunch of time?
Yeah, we have about 3,500 students that experience some sort of chronic absenteeism. And what that looks like is on any given day, there's the difference between cumulative and consecutive absences. And those absences really kind of tell a story about a student. They allow us to see, does a student have an isolated barrier that's preventing them from attending many days in a row? And then we also have students who periodically, like you said, will miss a couple days here or there each week. And those students have different barriers generally. What we like to do is look at it from like a multi-tiered approach and really look at what those barriers are, because sometimes we can find a connection to, a system thing that they can't access. And sometimes it means really that they need a barrier and connected to community partnerships that we have that will allow them to gain access to school again.
And Marissa, is there a particular age group that appears to be the most prone to the chronic absenteeism?
Yeah, I would say largely it's our high school students. As Natalie was mentioning, we have these schools of choice, and one of the things that we've found as a huge help is some of our students who have chosen, say they have a job or a commitment at home, babysitting younger children, they will often choose a hybrid option where they go to our schools of choice part of the day and our comprehensive high schools the other part of the day.
So you're somewhat less concerned about the elementary grades, or is that an issue too?
Oh, no, we're concerned. We want every kid to have access to their learning. So we definitely approach that. Elementary looks different, of course, because they're with their teacher all day long. And so oftentimes our elementary teachers have a lot of knowledge about the student and family, and those interventions are started very early. Whereas sometimes our older students, we lack being able to contact them, or we have to go to seek them out, find them at a location, or maybe they're just at home and we do a home visit just to let them know we care and additional outreach.
Mm-hmm. How critical is it, Marissa, to the younger kids to not miss that much time in the early grades?
Yeah, it's really critical. This is a nationwide problem. Research shows that as little as 2 days missing per month can have a huge impact on kids' ability to learn. And as you know, our goals of having kids be on grade level is math and reading when they're young. This definitely can impact the access and the instruction that they get during their class day.
We're talking about absenteeism, and we're giving the example here of the Medford School District, where we're talking to Marissa Poling and Natalie Hurd here on the Jefferson Exchange. You might have some questions or comments of your own to contribute to the conversation. Join us by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Marissa, you've mentioned interventions a couple of times. What are those? I mean, what are some of the procedures you begin to deploy if you realize you're dealing with a case of chronic absenteeism?
Yeah, so I'm really fortunate to work with a team of folks, family liaisons, and positive attendance specialists that move between our schools. And oftentimes they work very closely with our counseling teams, our mental health providers. And like I said, that system is kind of a tiered approach. Sometimes the barriers are very widely known and or the student and family feel comfortable sharing those. And other times we have to really help determine what the barrier is. What that might look like, one example might be, is that we work with kind of a team, many different agencies, and the biggest success we've had is looking at wraparound services for kids. So bringing the folks to the table that really know the student and family. We work very closely with one of our partners is NASLA, with students who are experiencing homelessness, and thinking about is that student experiencing historically marginalized barriers or current recent barriers, which might be a family emergency. And so oftentimes, as you know, there's multiple kids in the household and that can impact. So when we have these wraparound services, families are able with their family liaison to share some of their deeper needs. And that helps on a case-by-case basis really say, okay, well, this kid just one of our kids can't get up in the morning and another kid is really just wants to be in band and have something positive going on at school because home life might be hard at the moment. So trying to do some adjustments, schedule changes, meeting the needs and strengths of the students is really where we try to go as our proactive approach.
This sounds like a real difference from the way things used to go. I mean, I remember hearing about truant officers when we were kids and the people who would chase you down, and there was the potential for getting police involved, and there's none of that at this point, partly due to Oregon law, as I understand it.
Certainly, yeah, that's not a far punitive approach, and that wasn't proven to be a healthy way to deal with it anyhow, because families just became more, they felt like they couldn't trust people at the school, and so that was really leading into, like, what can we do to help you find a trusting adult at the school, and flipping the mindset.
All right, so you mentioned the kinds of wraparound services. It sounds like the family liaison people, the attendance specialists, really have to do a real case-by-case, getting-to-know-you kind of thing with each family.
Yeah, the schools really do a nice job with their systems, and many schools create goals around their school improvement plans. So we work system-wide at each site to help support that. And then, yes, the family liaisons, that's something our community said that they wanted. And so that was a direct reflection that we wanted to invest in that with our SIA funds. So they are uncovering those things, but oftentimes schools do have some of the base knowledge.
Mm-hmm. So I know with the number we're working with is for the school year ending in or the 2023 school year, any indication either anecdotally or through numbers you're collecting yourself through this school year that things are improving somewhat?
Yes, certainly. Our year-to-date attendance, monthly attendance, we've seen a real increase. Last year, year-to-date was about 87.5% at this time. And this year, we're at about 89.2%. So those are students attending school on any given day. We track that monthly. We also track quarterly attendance. And we look at our students who, unfortunately, sometimes if they get to those cumulative 10-day drop scenarios, we are looking at how many kids were able to recover and see about re-enrolling in school if they have not yet chosen another option.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the students who are coming back to the same school, what kinds of supports do they get when they come back? What's available to them in Medford schools, assuming they are falling behind somewhat from the time missed?
Yeah, that's a great question. So that looks different for each student. But generally, they'll meet with a counselor, create a student success plan. And sometimes that involves like a check-in. We call them check-in and check-out plans, where they might have different adults or other students that they check in with throughout the day to just see, you know, hey, I made it through a day. As you can imagine, the stamina of a student who has not been attending full days, it takes a little while to rebuild that habit back to being feeling positive. And they feel a little behind, you know, when they first enter and back into the school setting. So making sure that they have what they need, sometimes that means a team meeting, especially for our secondary, middle school, and high school folks, the teachers work together to make sure that if the family wants to meet, we sometimes reteach them how to use their Canvas accounts and how to access different technologies that will help them. So it does really look different based on the barrier. And then oftentimes we ask them to set a goal for themselves, and the family, you know, usually their guardians will share specific ways that they can support that student's goal. And then we will share specific ways we can support it at the school level. And so that helps just to create stability. Some of our families who have really focused on stability outside of school, the capacity to have the stability in school is just a far reach. So any way we can help with that is really our goal.
So it sounds like a number of supports available. Natalie Hurd, with the state of staffing and the state of budget in the Medford School District, will you be able to hold on to the people who are helping get people back into school now?
I'm so glad you asked that question. The financial situation is really difficult right now. As you know, the state of Oregon does not fund school districts based on inflation. And so, you know, we want to pay our folks what they deserve to be paid, and recently negotiated cost of living increases with our employees, well deserved. We're just simply not funded on that. There's several other unfunded state mandates. And so we are facing a deficit of $15 million over the next 2 years. And so we're having some really difficult conversations right now around what we need to cut in order to balance our budget. That information, that budget plan, Those reductions will go to our budget committee the first week of May. Mm-hmm. But we are doing everything we can to preserve the core classroom experience. That's our first priority, right. is the classroom core, and then mental and behavioral health, mm-hmm. And then innovation and safety and security. And right. So those are our main priorities. All
right. Natalie Hurd, Marissa Poling from the Medford School District, thank you both for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much for having us.
I appreciate your time.